Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Australia's government has launched this bill proposing to ban social media for children under the age of 16. The law, which will cover platforms such as X, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram, it has been described by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese as world-leading and, he says, is about protecting children from the harms of social media. But how will it work in practice and is it something we should consider in Ireland? Well, I'm joined now by Fiona Jennings, who's Head of Public Affairs and Policy at the ISPCC, and Phil Mercer, BBC Australia correspondent. Bill, first to you to find out how all of this is planned, how it's going to work. Explain to us what the proposals mean.
Well, we've heard from the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and he is insisting that action is needed in terms of restricting cyberbullying and also reducing the exposure that young people have online to violent and pornographic content. There are concerns in Australia that the mental health of young people has in many instances deteriorated because of social media. So what the Albanese government here in Australia is proposing legislation introduced today. So this is a bill that will need to be discussed and dissected before a vote is taken place. But it is 17 pages long. Essentially, the ban would apply to all children in Australia under the age of 16. There would be no exemptions for those children with existing social media accounts. So this would apply to Facebook, TikTok, Instagram and Snapchat. But the big discussion here in Australia is how this ban would actually work in practice. How do you encourage or force tech companies to comply? And more importantly, how do you encourage, force or encourage young people in Australia not to do what so many of them have done for quite a long time, and that's have a social media account?
And then messaging apps and gaming sites, they won't be included in this. So they can be on WhatsApp and Telegram and talk to each other on Fortnite. That's all permitted under these proposals.
Yes, and this raises the question about what the Australian government actually defines as social media. Now, the government is insisting that this new law is necessary. We've heard from several of the tech companies saying that, firstly, the ban legislation is rushed and that they clearly don't agree with it. They say, some of the tech companies, that this is a 20th century response to a 21st century challenge. And the fear, as explained by some of these tech operations, is that the ban has the potential to force some young people into dangerous, unregulated parts of the internet. And there's another argument that this ban doesn't encourage those companies to continually work to keep children safe online. But I think one of the big concerns here in Australia is so many teenagers already have social media accounts. It's been estimated that about 29% of 9 and 10 year olds have had experience on social media. So how do you turn off that tap when so many young Australians are already well and truly embedded in that social media culture?
And is the ban the only thing that the government is doing? Are they investing in other strategies to try and educate children about using social media and keeping themselves safe?
Yes, the government here has in recent times said it would favour data protection laws for children, safeguarding children's personal information, taking action against doxing, for example, or the release of malicious personal information online. But certainly this proposed social media ban is, according to the Australian government, the biggest step it's taken so far in terms of trying to protect young people online. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, says that this is world-leading legislation. Australia Australia trying to do, what other countries either haven't tried to or have failed to achieve. And it's worth noting, too, that some of the social media companies, some of the tech companies have said in the past that their research is suggesting that many parents in Australia, they want to be the gatekeepers of their children's digital activities and not the government and not the law and not a ban. So the bottom line in all of this is that there is still a huge amount of discussion to be had and also a huge amount of detail still to come, because this legislation introduced today is 17 pages long, but it contains very sparse details about what the government's practical plans actually are.
Okay, well, let's hear from Fiona Jennings now from the ISPCC. I mean, the Australian Prime Minister says he's spoken to very many parents and grandparents who want this, who welcome it. And I'm getting messages here on my screen from parents who say, please, can we take the lead from Australia and do this here? But what's your own view? Will it work?
Possibly it could work, but I think the more important question, though, Claire, is it the right thing to do? I mean, you know, I'm at the Safe Regina Forum today. I've just come out of a youth panel discussion around finding the balance between protection and empowerment. So, you know, I suppose the uncomfortable reality, if you like, is that, you know, children are very much in this digital space. This is where they're living, they're thriving. You know, they will be working in these spaces in jobs that have not even been created yet. So if we really want to, I suppose, protect children, you know, we also have to recognise that they have rights to participate as well. In terms of the Irish context, we have our online safety code where platforms will be compelled to introduce methods of whether it's age verification, age assurance, age estimation, depending on the level of risk that's on the platform. So I think it's really important that, you know, we recognise that children have a right to be in these spaces.
Yeah, I just have so many parents. Not one parent is saying this is a bad idea. People saying that I feel very strongly. Just to give you an example from Emma about banning social media for children under 16. All current data supports the view that it is beyond harmful for our children. It's imperative that the next government includes a firm commitment to enacting this as soon as possible. We ban smoking indoors and the use of plastic bags. Why can't we take the initiative and protect our children?
Well, I would say what's not helpful about those analogies is that there's nothing positive about smoking. There's nothing positive about plastic bags. There's a huge amount of positive elements attached to the internet, attached to social media companies. And just as Bill was saying there, you know, messaging services, so end-to-end encrypted services and gaming sites are going to be exempt from such a ban. And we're involved in a research project at the moment around child grooming. And we know that it's in those spaces where more harm can happen. So if we really want to protect children, it's about a whole of government approach, a whole of society approach that is bringing parents along as well to better understand, I suppose, the nuances in the space, that we have education at the heart of it. But really, we need coherent public policy as well from our government.
Yeah. I just wonder, is it when you say there are benefits for children being on social media, like for a 7 or 8 year old, are there really benefits for them?
Well, the guidelines that we have is that, you know, no children under 13 should be on social media. So that's the first thing. And we would very much support that in the ISPCC as well.
So when you're talking about benefits, you're talking about there are benefits for children over the age of 13.
13 and over. Yeah. But there's also benefits as well for children engaging with technology. So, you know, removing the social media element from it as well.
Okay, so I mean, but how do you do that? You know, how do you go about doing this where you retain the benefits as you see it for the over 13s, but protect them too? It's a very difficult one to square, isn't it?
It is, and there is a balancing act certainly between the rights to protection and the rights to participation. But sometimes we've been overly protected and we've ignored the participation piece. So we do need to understand, you know, what children are finding beneficial about being online, what is working well, while also as well, you know, creating awareness around the protection issues, if you like, and creating spaces for them to talk about them, to learn about them, so that they do recognise the red flags as well.
So despite what the parents are telling me here on the messages coming in, you at the ISPCC, you don't believe, Fiona, and tell me, am I right in saying this, that a ban would work?
I'm not saying that a ban wouldn't work, but what I'm saying is it the right thing to do? I absolutely recognise parents' concerns and worries around this, and that is why we developed our Digital Ready Hub to support parents to, I suppose, if you want to learn more about, you know, the ins and outs of being online, to support them better with conversation starters as well about being online, and to help alleviate some of the fears that parents themselves have as well. But by removing children from social media, from these outlets, I don't think that a social media ban is the answer, no.
Okay, Fiona, we'll leave it there. Thank you for your time. Fiona Jennings there from the ISPCC and Phil Mercer from BBC Australia.